You would turn with me in your Bibles to the book of James. We're going to be in James chapter 4, verses 1 through 6. James chapter 4, verses 1 through 6. My sister Elaine and I are 2 years apart. I am the oldest in the family, and she was number two. We have a brother, Stephen, who was the third. He was about 8 years younger. But Elaine and I were closer in years. Typically, you would think that if you were closer, you would probably get along a lot better. But that was not the case with my sister and I. We fought like cats and dogs. I don't care what it was about, we were fighting all the time. And it became at times very wearisome. Now, sometimes our mother would let us go on, and she would let us squabble a little bit, but then there came a point where we would be fighting. I don't have any idea what it might be, but it came to the point where Mom finally had enough. She would come in and walk into the room where we were, and she would say, "Stop your fighting!" And she would look at each one of us. Has anybody ever here fight with your brothers and sisters? Do any of you still fight with your brothers and sisters? Oh, I got a hand way in the back row right there. Yeah, we fight, don't we? Fighting is something that we do as siblings. It's interesting, whenever we think about fighting, fighting is actually, sadly, a fact of life. James opens chapter 4 with some very gripping and challenging words. I want to read to you this section together. Turn with me in James 4, reading from verse 1. James says, "What is the source of quarrels and conflicts among you? Is not the source your pleasures that wage war in your members? You lust and do not have, so you commit murder. You are envious and cannot obtain, so you fight and you quarrel. You do not have because you do not ask. And you ask and don't receive because you ask with wrong motives, so that you may spend it on your pleasures. You adulteresses, don't you know that friendship with the world is hostility toward God? Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Or do you think that the Scripture speaks to no purpose? He jealously desires the Spirit which he has made to dwell in us. But he gives a greater grace. Therefore, it says, God is opposed to the proud, but he gives grace to the humble." Father, we pray that you would open up our hearts to understand this whole concept of sources of quarrels within our midst, within our relationships. And Lord, help us to understand the core of that and to be able to take that and turn that around so that we stop the fighting. In Jesus' name, amen. When we look at verses 1 and 2, one of the things that we see here, we're going to be talking about, first of all, James is kind of talking about here about conflict with other people, whether it's personal relationships, your father, your mother, your siblings, maybe your spouse. Anybody here ever fight with your spouse? I wonder. Relationships. But James is talking about relationships, and primarily what he's talking about is the relationship in the body of Christ. There were some issues that were going on there, and he uses different words here. He says, what is the source of quarrels and conflicts? The word quarrel there means war. It means war. And the word conflict means battle. Now, a war can go on for an extended and long period of time, whereas a battle will be just a small part of that war, very specific and very limited. Both in this context, James is saying, means very serious and destructive personal relationships. There are problems, he is saying, and I want to address them. James begins with a very significant question. And is essentially saying this: I want you to tell me, Christian brothers and sisters, why are you so many hostile and fighting in your attitude toward each other, to the point of perhaps even dividing your churches and hurting the name of Jesus Christ? We need to understand this very first. Here's a principle that we need to take a look at. It is God's desire. It's God's desire what? That we live together in harmony. I don't care if it's in the church or if it's in your family or if it's in your work environment, with other believers especially. He desires that we live together in harmony. I love this psalm. It says, God desires that. Behold, he says, how good and how pleasant. It's good and pleasing. It's fun. It's enjoyable. For what? For people who are especially believers to dwell together in unity. Paul also picked this up and he says, we are to be united in spirit, held together by the love of Jesus Christ. When you examine some of the early churches, they had their share of disagreements. The members of the Corinthian church were competing against each other in their public meetings. They would sit there and they would compete with their different factions. And they were even doing this. They were even suing each other in the world's court system. That's why Paul addressed them and said, take care of your problems within the body of Christ. You're suing each other and you're being a terrible testimony to those around you. The Galatian believers, Paul says they were actually biting and devouring each other. They were eating each other up. And the Philippian church, as you know, had two women Paul addressed who were not getting along with each other. And it was affecting adversely the body of Christ. And the list goes on and on. You get the picture. We're told that the believer's body of Christ needs to not have fighting within it or within our relationships. So James asks this. He says, what is the source of these quarrels that are among you? Now, a source is this. A source is a person, a place, or a thing from which something comes. That's the source, the very beginning. Synonyms include the origin, or the spring, or the fountain, if you will, the heart of it, the starting point, and the root. Now, when we lived out in Wyoming, there were a lot of history placards everywhere about the people who were explorers. And they went out, and when you read about them, one of the things that they were, there was something that most of them were looking for. They were looking for the sources of a river. And oftentimes, explorers would spend their entire lifetime just going around trying to find the source of a river. The Mississippi River. How many of you know where the source of the Mississippi River is? Anybody know? Anybody have been there? Yes? Where is it, Matthew?
Alaska.
Yes, in Minnesota. How many of you have ever been there? Yeah. How many of you actually stepped over the Mississippi River? Isn't that awesome? You can actually go to where the river starts in Itasca and you can step over the Mississippi River. It is amazing. When we lived in Wyoming, there was a falls out there, and Shell Falls, and probably about 15 miles up in the mountains from us, and they had a little placard on there, and it was interesting because from that river, that fall that was right there, was actually one of the origin places of the Missouri River. From there, it fell down that fall and fell into, they talked about a water drop. You know, how it rains, and then this water drop starts in this river up there, and that waterfall, water drop goes over the falls, and it eventually ends up in the Missouri River, which ends up eventually in the Mississippi, which ends up in the Gulf of Mexico. So the source or the origin is what Paul is talking about here. A small stream like that Mississippi starts out in the body of Christ can oftentimes lead to a raging river of trouble if it's not taken care of. From God's perspective, if we are going to deal with problem areas in any area of our life, in any area of your life and mine, we have to go back to the source. Counselors are taught that you need to go to the source of the problem, the root of the problem, if you're really going to effectively deal with it. We have to go back to the spring, as it were, of the problem. James says, is not the source, the very beginning, the very root, the spring of your pleasures, of what's going on, is your pleasures that wage war in your members. In other words, here's what James is saying. He says, the real source of contention and the real problem of a fighting among believers is this. It's due to the fighting that is constantly going on where? In the personal life of every believer. It really begins with the heart issue. And that's what James is addressing. He says your problems, your quarrels, your difficulties start here right in your own heart. Pleasures that he uses, the source of your pleasures, He says it's a Greek word, it's the Greek word hedonon, from which we get our word hedonism. You've heard of the word hedonism. Well, hedonism is this. Hedonism is the uncontrolled, personal, selfish, notice that word selfish, desire to fulfill every passion that promises sensual satisfaction and enjoyment. It's selfishness that wants to be able to please yourself. We fight with our brothers and sisters, the root source is because I think that I need to deserve what I want to get. That's why I'm fighting with you. I'm being selfish is where it comes from. First of all, we need to understand, when he says that the source is your pleasures, you need to understand this. There's nothing wrong with wanting what? A pleasurable life. There's nothing wrong with that. God gives us what? He gives us good gifts. God has given us good gifts, and he gives us things that he wants us to enjoy, but only when they are enjoyed what? Within his will. Those things are given to us, but they've got to be within his will. James says the fight is really between the carnal nature, that old nature of the believer, that evil, selfish desire for pleasure, and the Holy Spirit of God who dwells in us. Even the greatest Christians that you can look at have had and still do have a problem with this internal struggle. Paul said of this conflict, he says, for the good that I wish that I do not. And in fact, he says, I practice the very thing that I don't want to do, the very evil. So Paul had this struggle. The great apostle had this struggle. Don't think that it's uncommon for you to have it as well. So we have that conflict with others. And then we also have this conflict within our own selves. Paul says, or James says here, he addresses some of the reasons now for this struggle and the consequences of this struggle. He says, you lust and do not have, so you commit murder. The word lust here refers to having a desire or a longing of what? Of any kind. But in the context here, James makes it very clear that the desire mentioned here is definitely sinful and selfish. We as believers often seek our own personal glory. We set ambitious goals for ourselves. But often we do that with wrong motives. We don't achieve them as a result. James says that if this is the desire for self-glory, and if it's left unchecked in your life, it will lead to murder. Now, obviously, James doesn't mean that you're going to go out and physically kill someone, which does happen in extreme cases, can it? But what he's talking about here is that the word murder here means to kill someone or to assassinate what? Their character, who they are. So when you look at the aspect of their character, you're trying to destroy that other person. That's what James says. We had last week, we talked about our lips and our tongues, remember? And as James said, these should not be used to hurt other people, but they do. There are those in the church, James says, whose activities are also motivated by what? He says, you commit murder, you are what? Envious, and you cannot obtain, so you fight and you quarrel. So there is this concept of envy and jealousy, as we saw last week. Any Christian who is motivated by envy and jealousy will be contentious and will be hostile in their attitude and their attitudes toward others. The late Billy Graham was a man whom God raised up to be an evangelist. He spoke to more people in this world than any other man who lived, and many made public decisions for Jesus Christ under his ministry. His tremendous success can only be explained one way. God. God. He was quick to give God the glory. And yet, there was a time in Billy's ministry when there were hundreds of evangelicals attacking him. Maybe you even remember some of those attacks. Well, there's been a careful analysis of what really triggered that, the source of where that came from. And it was revealed that all this criticism started when two old-time evangelists were bitten by that green-eyed monster called jealousy. Billy Graham had more people than they did. And through their influence, this opposition started. What I praised God for was that Billy Graham did not fight back. He continued to preach the gospel, people continued to be saved, and God continued to get the glory. James has another problem, and the reason that we don't have things in our lives and because we're struggling with this problem of fighting is because of our prayers. He talks about our prayers. First of all, he says, you know what? I'm going to be quite honest with you. He says, some of you don't have because what? You don't even ask. You don't even ask. He says, you're not even coming to God. You're not even talking to him. You're not even praying and asking him. The question I have for you today is a very practical one. Here's the question. Do you even pray and ask God for help? Do you even pray and do you take the time? Do you believe that you are not so self-sufficient? Do you believe that you are so needy that you have to come to God and ask him for his help? The problem is sometimes we don't. Many people think that asking God for help is really a bad thing because they think of themselves as sufficient. They can take care of it themselves. They can solve the problem themselves. They believe that all their needs and wants can be met by their own human abilities. They don't believe this. And this is something we have to believe. They don't ask because they don't believe that every good thing and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights with whom there is no variation or shifting of shadow. They don't believe that God is the one who has the answers that they need, so they never ask him. You need to be asking God, James says, to be able to help you in your life. James says another reason that we don't receive is because we do ask, but guess what we ask with? Wrong motives. Selfish motives. James says very clearly, he says, you know that you ask with wrong motives. Why? So that you may spend it on your own pleasures. So what James says is that you're asking, but you're asking with the wrong reasons. We can spend it on our pleasures. The word spend there is a word that means to completely use up or to squander. How many of you remember the story of the prodigal son? We all do. In the story of the prodigal son, he went out and he spent his inheritance. He squandered it on living the lifestyle that he wanted. He was very selfish and self-oriented, and he used whatever good things that his dad had given him in his inheritance and threw it away. That's what James is talking about here. When he says you spend it on your own pleasures, he says you're throwing it away because you're not following the will of God. You're not allowing him to do what he wants to. Real joy, people, and real happiness in your life as mine as a believer comes from first a very close fellowship, a very close, intimate walk with God. And that starts and leads to very sincere and very unselfish praying. If I'm walking close with God, I'm not going to be praying selfishly. I will be praying unselfishly. During the days of World War II, as an example, there was a chaplain by the name of Wyeth Willard. And he was conducting a Bible class on board a ship. And there were about 15 young men who became a part of that Bible study and that prayer group. Strongly devoted believers. And they were told by their officers that they were going to go to an island called Tarawa. And it was an island that there was going to be fierce battles. And the officers told them, many of you are going to be killed. Some of you will not return. That's how bad this battle is going to be. We're telling you up front, many of you in this on this ship are going to die in this battle. Those 15 men got together and they prayed together before they went to battle. And they prayed, this is the type of prayer that all of them were praying. Lord, tomorrow we are going to storm the beaches of Tarawa. Our officers have told us that this is going to be a bloody battle. Many of our number will be killed. Listen to this. If this is to be, Lord, then let us who know you, let us who are believers in you, who know Jesus Christ, have trusted him as our Lord, let us be killed and spare those who do not, that they may have more time to make a decision for you. Wow. That's an unselfish prayer. My source of this illustration didn't have the conclusion of what happened. I don't know how many, I know you're all thinking, well, what happened? I don't know. But here's the important thing. The important thing is they were willing to give up their lives for the sake of other people. You will not have conflicts. You will not have fighting if you have that type of unselfish attitude. So it comes back to the issue of my own heart. What's my own heart like? Am I having a struggle with somebody else? Are you having personal problems right now with someone else? Then there's a 95% chance that the problem is you, not necessarily the other person. But 100% of it is you take care of what's going on in your heart first, and you let the Lord deal with them on theirs. You start with you. If it's possible, be at peace with all men, but that begins with you. So I have to examine, am I having a problem with someone right now? Am I having a conflict? Maybe it's because I'm being selfish. Maybe there's a motive that's causing me to do that. James says you need to address that. Here's the problem. The real problem is you're having what? A conflict with God. You're having a conflict with God. James says this in verses 4 following. He says, you adulteresses, don't you know that friendship with the world is hostility toward God? And he goes on to say that if you are a friend of the world, you're going to make yourself an enemy of God. So he's going to talk to us about this conflict in our own lives. As Christians, your and my first and only love is to be for the Lord Jesus Christ. Because he gave his life for you, went to the cross, died on the cross, paid the price for the sin that you deserve to do on that cross in your place. The exciting thing, as Dave said, was he wasn't there on the cross dead. He was put in the tomb, but he rose. And God accepted his sacrifice. James says here that the problem, our problem, is what? It's adultery. And adultery is loving someone or something more than the Lord Jesus Christ. He is not speaking of physical infidelity here, but of spiritual infidelity. He's in effect saying that they are breaking the heart. We break the heart of the one who loved us so much that he went to Calvary to purchase our redemption when we love the world rather than loving Christ. Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount said this, very basic principle. He said this, no one can serve two masters. He's either going to hate the one and love the other, or he will hold to the one and despise the other. He says you can't serve God and mammon. While in that context it speaks of money, but James here picks up on this principle and says the problem is that they love the world and its system more than they love God. How about you? Do you love the world's values more than you love God? If you do, then you're not going to be able to be effective for God, and you're going to have conflicts in your life. James says if we're a friend of the world, then we are, in a sense, enemies of God. There's a constant battle going on in your life and mine right now. Paul very clearly says it. He says this, the flesh sets its desire against the spirit and the spirit against the flesh. So that the mind set on the flesh is what? It's hostile toward God. So there's that constant battle going on in your heart and your life. And it's really an internal struggle. And we have to, as Joshua says, choose each day whom you're going to serve. Who are you going to serve? You know what? God jealously desires this, that you would allow the Holy Spirit of God to dwell in you, and you would allow the Holy Spirit of God to control and move and fill your heart and your life. And when you do that, every one of you is a workmanship of God. Paul said in Ephesians that you are his workmanship. What? Created for good works, which God has prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Every one of you is a plan by God. Your life is a plan by God to be used for his glory and for his honor. The Hestons are here. Their plan for their life from God is that they would be in Kosovo, that they would be doing this ministry of discipling young students who are not believers. That's what God's placed upon their life. Your plan might be that God has you here in a school in Hamilton, Illinois, and you are to be a teacher who has a godly life that it can influence the kids' lives in your classrooms for Jesus Christ. You may be a farmer who has the opportunity to share with other farmers about how God can be their Savior, how he loves you, and on. Every one of you is a workmanship of God. But if you are not allowing him to be the Lord of your life, if you are selfishly living your own life for yourself with your own motivations, then you're not going to be effective for him. He jealously wants the Holy Spirit of God to work in your life. James concludes this by saying that while the natural tendency of all of us is toward this selfishness, toward this evil, there is a way to overcome it. God is what? Opposed to the proud, but notice what he says. He gives grace to those who are humble. He is constantly making his grace, which is more than sufficient to meet our needs, available to each and every one of you and me. If you have a problem too difficult to handle by yourself, seek the Lord's help. The Hestons have a problem. We're trying to get a ministry that will reach more people, but they have this limited space. They've got room for only 20 people at the most, but they've got people that are coming in and wanting to, so now they're looking to God, Lord, would you open it up? But you know what? If they go out and they do it in their own strength, they're going to fall flat on their faces. But if they ask God for his help, then they'll see him work. Forget your pride. Forget your own limitations. Ask the Lord to help you. He's a bigger God than we are. He may not solve the problem as you pray, but he will solve it as he sees best. Just as pride and selfishness are the root of all sin, so humility, James says, is the root of the source of all righteousness. In closing, here's the key. It is only when the things of this world are no longer admired or sought in your life, when your self-concern is replaced with concern for God's glory and for others, that God can truly do his work. And we will stop our fighting because we are God-centered and not self-centered. One of the things that the Hestons shared was that when they first went to the ministry there in Kosovo, where they are now, that there were three churches. They have three churches in the entire city that comprise about these first three rows of pews, about 30 people. But those three churches weren't getting along. They were fighting. They didn't get along. And the Hestons began to pray, and as they saw God work, he began to slowly bring the ministers together, which is sounds like that was part of the problem, because they were probably selfish. Might have even been jealous or envious of the other churches. And because of that, they were not able to work together. Now they are beginning to share together. Little by little, the body is coming together because they are getting rid of their own selfish motives and they're willing to allow God's glory to be seen in them. They have stopped their fighting. Praise God. He is beginning to do that work, and we can see that work there. He wants to do that here too. Is there someone you're not getting along with? Have you been in your spirit fighting with someone? Maybe it's because you have a selfish problem, your own desire. You need to take care of that. You need to go to that person and get that reconciled. Stop the fighting. Father, praise you for your word. Thank you for your blessing to us. Thank you that you give grace greater than our pride. And we ask now, Lord, that you would help us to use our lives for your glory, that your kingdom might be furthered. In Jesus' name, amen.